This morning I'm in Bradford with Crispin Northey. So I'm really excited to be here, and it's a really lovely warm sunny day.
It is, it's beautiful Bradford.
Which I think, is it always like this, Crispin?
Yes, Yorkshire is very sunny and it never rains here.
Okay, so the first question is, how and where did we first meet?
So you used to be my vicar.
I did.
Yeah, at St Thomas Becket Church in Box. Shout out to the congregation there, I miss them very much. I left them because I wanted to marry a Yorkshire woman. That's why I'm up here in Bradford, because we now live just outside Bradford and Leeds, to the lovely Lana. So used to be my vicar until I left and split and went to a different church.
Yeah. Do you drink tea?
I do drink tea, yeah.
And what's your favourite sort of tea?
So my favourite sort of tea is Yorkshire tea. Which is always the best.
Did Lana make you say that?
Well, I think Lana probably got me into Yorkshire tea originally, but it is a lot better. And I have to share, because we're filming this from our office, and we are very lucky to be provided tea here by CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and they give us clipper tea. So they give us, you know, good old
Fair trade tea.
But I have to confess that in our department, we provide our own Yorkshire tea as well, just because, you know, sometimes it's good to be fair trade, but also sometimes it's good to have the tea that you like too.
You see, we at home, we drink Cafe Direct fair trade tea,
right?
Which is different. I think it's more like Yorkshire.
Right.
I should have brought you some tea bags or some up for you to try them out. So the question which I'm asking everybody is, how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
Yeah, that's a really kind of big subject that you're asking people there. So for them to keep it concise, I'm sure is quite a big challenge. I have to say that it's been often been my fear in the past that the church is dying or has been dying. A lot of what I've seen from the church hasn't necessarily been what I think that Jesus wanted from the church. I think people often are quite insular and inward focused, and it is more about ceremonial things. You know, going to church on Sunday is kind of just what you do, as opposed to what Jesus wanted you to do, which was share in community. To be outward focused as well. The church was always part of the community, what we now know to be the secular community. It always be reaching in and helping the poor and people who are more disadvantaged and people who need help. And I think as God told us to love him first, but also to love each other, I don't think he thought that just was the church inside. However, now I'm working for an organisation that works with the church, I can still see some of those churches around, but I can also see some fantastic churches out there that are really reaching into their communities and are thriving. And some really big churches as well. People just love going to church, and they love getting the teaching from church and sharing in that community.
So if you're listening and you're wondering what the background noise is, we're at Christians Against Poverty's head office at Jubilee Mill in Bradford, and there's people busy working all around us.
Yeah.
We can't tell them to be quiet.
I know, I can't believe that they're working. It's so cheeky. Whereas we're just drinking tea and chatting.
We're just drinking tea and chatting. So if you are thinking there's a lot of background noise, that's people hard at work, working for Christians Against Poverty.
We're not just playing a YouTube of people, of random office noises.
No, it's not random office noise. So I guess, I don't know if you'll know this number, how many churches have debt? Counselling centres which are run by Christians Against Poverty.
So our debt centres, so we've got about 360 at the moment. We think we need around about 500 to have national coverage. So we are pretty much mostly around the UK, but there obviously are some holes that we need to kind of fill to make sure that when people call us, as they do every day, that we can say, yes, we have a centre in your area, and yes, we have someone who can come and see you.
What do you perceive as the main causes of poverty in the UK?
Okay, again, that is a massive question. So in part of my job is I work with the media to try and get CAP's name into the media. And we get a lot of the very specific questions from the media, which the answers aren't very, you know, they're more general and a lot bigger. Main causes of obviously people are taking out loans, they're taking out credit cards, they may be going to your local hire purchase places, I probably shouldn't name them, but wherever you go and buy things from, people always want you to take out credit to do that, and therefore you think, oh, actually that gives me a bit longer to kind of work out my finances, I can pay for that at a later date. But what happens if you suddenly are ill and you have to give up your job, or you have to be on sick leave, or you lose your job? Maybe in this current climate, all these big retail places are closing their doors and people are losing their jobs. And actually you took out that money in good faith, but now that job now doesn't exist, but you still have to pay for your mortgage, you still have to pay for the credit cards, you still have to pay for all of that kind of stuff. So I think we're in a very difficult climate, particularly post 2008. And I think financially, yeah, it's hitting people really hard, and it's hitting, you know, the little man at the bottom even more.
Do you are you perceiving any sort of swing yet into people actually buying less stuff? Because the retail sales figures have actually been falling quite consistently, and people go, oh, it's because they've got no money. But do you think maybe some people are choosing to buy less?
I'd hope so. it's part of what we put, particularly when they are our clients, when we work with our clients, we're very keen to kind of educate as we go along. So people may be paying their way out of debt with us over a course of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, and as part of that, they live on a budget and they realize actually we have to go without certain things. But we often find that the biggest cause, I should go back actually, one of the biggest causes of poverty we find is low income. Mm-hmm. That actually, you know, the prices are going up, you know, you've got that sense of inflation there, but income isn't going up. So it's harder and harder for people to pay for the most basic things, like your electricity and your water and your gas, or even your rent or your council tax as well. So actually, having said that, it is people buying things, I think it is also people just trying to survive every day. And yeah, it's difficult for parents, particularly around Christmas time and birthdays, to say to your child, oh, you have to go without this, you have to go without that. You know, you have to be a very strong parent to really teach your child that actually it's better to go without things rather than your parents to go into debt. And I know that may sound really obvious, but actually when you have your child really wanting that thing that their friends have, it's very difficult to disappoint them.
I think that's a really important point, actually. So my children didn't watch that much commercial television when they were little, but when they did, it was full of toy ads. Yeah. It was absolutely full of, you must have this and you must have that. Even my children were like, can we get that? Can we get that? And we'd be thinking about it. And there were, I mean, we had a couple of Christmases where we had to try and drive to a different Argos or something. And you want them to feel part of the community and part of their, and not feel that they're set apart from their peers. So it is hard.
It's really hard. And it's one thing, we've got a 7-month-old boy, our son, Alfie, and certainly one thing that I get on the train every morning with a lot of kids going to the local school. You see them with all the mobile phones. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, how am I going to handle that when I say, you know, have to kind of limit his phone time, or what kind of phone he has when all his mates have a certain type of phone. It's really difficult. It's going to be really difficult at that point.
I think for me, our experience was that actually you start right at the beginning of actually talking to them and saying, and it's kind of every decision that you make about what
and
you
that's,
do.
That's the ideal. That's absolutely ideal. And that's the way that certainly Lana's parents brought her up as to do as well, and they were fantastic at talking about money, whereas other families, they don't talk about money because A, they might not have it, or B, they may just have like lots of debts, and it's a real taboo subject to talk about money in general.
I think for me, I'm currently living a really, really comfortable middle class life, but I have to remember there were times when my life wasn't like that. When we moved house, when I was 11, my mum was going to sell a piece of furniture, a desk. It's not a very fancy thing, but it had been altered by her dad so that my mum could use it as a desk from a dressing table when she was a child. Mm. And I cried. And she didn't sell it to the removals man.
Right.
And so we couldn't afford to have our oven fitted for 6 weeks after we moved. Yeah. And, you know, actually, that's kind of, some of that's tough, but it is kind of actually, we learn by choice.
Yeah.
We learn by having to choose, well, you can have this or you can have that.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about Woolworths then. My children, when they went to the pick and mix, could have as many sweets as they were old. They soon learned to pick big sweets,
yeah,
but they still only got 8 and 5 or nine.
Right. Nine. And I guess with your example from your mum and the dressing table is that it's difficult for her as well, because when you're showing that emotion, that really affects her.
Mm.
And she's thinking, wow, if Janet really feels this strongly about it. But then at certain points, you then have to think, well, actually, is that an informed choice? Or does she have to learn the hard way that we couldn't get something else fitted? Which sounds like the lesson that you learned from that. But, you know, it's like, do we do this the easy way or the hard way?
I guess my mum had the capacity to think, actually, if we can find that in the budget somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we'll have to work out what bit of the other budget we don't have.
We don't have, yeah.
And
which is a really responsible way of doing it as well. So.
And so she had that capacity to do that, which was important. The next question is, what do you think should be the Christian response to poverty?
Well, I think certainly Christians who read the Bible, because that can be a controversial way of putting it, I think our response is that we should be looking out for the poor. And I think it's certainly when Jesus set up the church, it was very strongly preached that we should be making sure that widows and orphans are cared for. And it can be down to you to interpret what's our modern day version of those kind of people. And I think, you know, we might lend money ourselves. I think certainly in the early communities, the early church, it said, you know, you can obviously lend money to other people, but after a certain number of years, the year of Jubilee, you know, it'd be good to write off those debts and set them free. It's very biblical to say that, you know, they've spent many years trying to work off their debt, maybe in the fields. But actually, there is a year of Jubilee where, you know, just as God has set us free, that we should be able to set other people free, which is why we are here at Jubilee Mill and across the way, which I took you to earlier, Janet, that's our Jubilee Centre. Because actually, we feel there's as much people have taken out the loans and the debt and all that kind of stuff. There's many reasons why they found themselves in that situation. And it could be mental health, it could be physical health, it could be low income. But ultimately, we feel that after a certain point, they should be to start again and be debt-free, whether it's going insolvent, bankrupt, or whether it's paying their way out of debts, you know, from 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But ultimately, they should be able to say to their kids, hey, we can now, you know, start over again. You know, mum and daddy aren't going to take out the loans. We can now live within our means. We have a new opportunity here to be restored as a family, then no more money arguments. Well, maybe not no more arguments, but limited arguments, because actually mummy and daddy are a lot less stressed about this. So I think the church's response is to reach into those communities and help the poor. And one way that they can do that is through CAP, because we have our debt centres, which is literally relieving people of that poverty. But also, what are the other reasons for debt? Is it joblessness? Is it budgeting skills? Is it some addiction as well? It can be addiction to betting or alcohol or drugs. So we actually cover all three of those. We have courses that churches can run to help people find their way into employment, to be relieved of that dependency or addiction, or to help them with those budgeting skills. So all three of those things, churches can get involved with CAP, and they can run those in their communities and help their communities in that way.
I think one of the very pertinent issues, I'm not going to ask you to express an opinion on this at the moment, because CAP may not yet have an official opinion,
right,
was the change in the maximum bet yesterday. So that came out yesterday now. Lots of people are saying, oh, there's going to be all sorts of betting shop staff with no money. But I guess the figures are how many more people are going to be positively affected by that. And that's a kind of really difficult philosophical utilitarian approach, isn't it, actually?
Yeah.
How do we do this? But it's I'm hoping that is going to help people that have a problem.
Oh, and you would hope so. We actually are working with a national newspaper on that story, but we're slightly redefining the story, slightly away from the slot machines, but actually focusing on the online gambling as well. So one of our clients is very bravely sharing her story. She just says, I just want to warn people that, you know, there are the slot machines, and she was on chat forums where people are talking about those betting machines, but also just, you know, is there a limit that can be had for online spending for gambling too?
So the next question is, what sort of church would you like your son to inherit?
Well, you probably gathered that I probably keep emphasising this, but I would like my son to inherit a church that is true, I guess, to what Christianity is about. And for me, that's what the Bible preaches, which is love, loving everyone, no matter what their faith or background is. And, you know, ultimately showing that love to them while also keeping your beliefs. You can have friends in the community and say, I believe this, you believe that. We can talk about that, but I still love you. And I think part of that love is showing an outward focus. And again, if someone's in crisis, it's like, how can I help that person in crisis? And I think sometimes when we live our nice middle-class lives, it can just be an inconvenience to get involved with someone who's in crisis. But I think a church should be really outward focused into their community and should be able to help people in crisis. And that can be as simple as offering prayer as well. I know that seems a bit alien in our community, but it's one thing that CAP does, is that we offer prayer to all our clients, and we're FCA authorised, and they know that we do that. And what we do is, on the very first phone call, we say to people, to our clients, that the prayer will be offered, but if you don't want it, you don't have to have it, and our service to you is unchanged. But it's amazing how many people accept that prayer, just because the prayer is just showing that you really care about that person. And even though they might not have worked out who you're quite praying to, actually they really appreciate the thought that you really care about them.
Do you think that's part of the integrity of CAP?
Which part?
That they're offering to pray, actually. This is who we are.
Yeah.
We're not going to change what we do.
Yeah.
If you reject that faith, spirituality, whatever, it doesn't matter. Right. But this is who we are.
Yeah, the way we put it is that people know that we're Christians. The name is in the title, Christians Against Poverty. So they expect us to act like Christians. And if you're going to be Johnny, you know, awkward person going into someone's home and being really awkward about being a Christian, people can be like, well, why be awkward about it? Just tell me, you know, I might be interested in why you believe what you believe, but thank you so much for just being so loving towards me and open and willing to pray for me. And again, you know, we don't want that to be, we don't want anyone to find that, you know, awkward at all. We want it just to be actually a really natural thing that we as Christians want to pray. And if they don't want to accept it, that's absolutely fine.
So the next question is the one which people find most difficult to answer, which is, what is your favourite thing, which begins with T?
Yeah, I was saying to you off air that I thought that was a really difficult question, and I was thinking, oh, do I go for something really profound, you know, that makes me sound really intelligent, or do I just go for something that's really shallow or something in between? So I've ended up thinking, actually, you know what, I really enjoy the theatre. And I really enjoy either being a part of a theatre production. So I've in Boxy used to be part of the Panto. That was fun. And at school, I enjoy being in the plays. But I really love going to the theatre. And having a young child, it's quite difficult to get to the theatre now. But I've already booked Lana's next birthday in March. I know that seems ages away. We're going to go and see Matilda because it's actually touring up to Sunny Bradford. But I really enjoy it because it's story and it's really engaging and it's a really great environment, and it's great that it's live, that you really get that interaction with the actors and stuff. So I don't know, that's a geeky answer, but yeah, I really enjoy the theatre.
That's good. I need to say thank you very much for having me here today, Crispin.
Thank you for coming.